Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning to an unexpected indoor service. If you're here with children, we are glad you're here. There are kids' bins available by the back door. As it's only 2 weeks until September, please take note of all the upcoming events in today's bulletin, with their start dates and times, including children's programming, quilting, games night, and the annual corn roast. Senior fellowship is on Wednesday, October 21st, this Wednesday, from 2:30 to 4, enjoying watermelon and rollkuchen. I know everyone's coming now. Never mind senior, everyone's coming. Also, please take note of the vacation dates for Pastor Tim and Herb, our property manager. And I'm going to call Kurt up for a couple of words.
Good morning. A few quick announcements today. We decided to come indoors. We all heard the thunderstorms this morning, unless you were really asleep. There is a chance that we might get one before the end of the service. But also the grass out there was incredibly wet for people to be walking across. We decided to come into the sanctuary rather than downstairs. Hopefully there's enough airflow through here. It won't get too hot during the service. If it is, we have turned on the air conditioner in the boardroom just across the hall. So if you need a little bit of a respite from the heat, there's a place that you can go. Feel no shame in just getting up and going and taking a break. And there's water in the fridge in the fellowship room, and I believe the air conditioner in the fellowship room is on as well. So if you are feeling a little bit warm, there's some options there for you. One other announcement is that on September 1st, it wasn't in the bulletin, on September 1st, we will be having also a congregational meeting, a very short one after the service again. Two items on the agenda. So the first item is going to be voting on the new church logo. So as we discussed last week, for those that were able to stay, we'll be going through and we'll be doing sort of a vote by elimination to get to, at the end, what we agree on will be the new church logo. The other thing that we will be doing is taking a formalized vote on our children's ministry. And so what we're looking at for children's ministry this year is going to be three different leaders. So Megan Vandenberg, who I believe everyone knows, has agreed that she will work and do the kids club. Shannon Sveda, we had last year doing all of our children's ministry. She's going to be doing a youth drop-in session for grades 9 to 12. And we have a new individual. Her name is Julia Purser. So she has actually done teacher's college with Megan. She knows Megan through there. She's got a great background. She even asked to do one of her teacher's college placements at a Christian school so she could get that experience as well. So on September 1st, we'll be reading her statement of faith, and at that time, we'll be doing a formal vote on accepting those three individuals to run our children's program. Sorry, Julia will be running our junior youth program, which is, I believe, grade 6 to 9 this year. So that will be the vote to just formalize those three placements for the staffing for our children's ministries. So thank you.
All right, thank you. Just before I welcome our speaker, let's say our prayer. Holy Father, thank you for all our past days, this day, and all those to come. We embrace the new chapters you're writing in our lives and praise you for the past blessings. Guide us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation. Help us to walk confidently on the paths you have set before us, trusting in your plans. Renew our strength and energize our spirits. Grant us the courage to share our faith and with current and future generations. We ask all this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. And today we're welcoming our guest speaker, Marty Meisner. In 2004, Marty sensed the Holy Spirit calling him to share his faith and invite others to know and grow in their relationship with Jesus. He's been living out this for over two decades. Marty has worked as a South pastor at Bethany Mennonite Church, a local homeless shelter, Open Arms Mission in Welland, and now works for Alpha Canada. He lives in Welland and is the father of two wonderful boys, Jackson and Scott. Marty has a dog named Brew. Marty is thankful for them and is thankful the most for God's faithfulness and grace. Welcome, Marty. But we'll sing first.
Bottom, you see there's a heading called tag and ending. We're going to ignore that. We're not going to sing those.
Let's sing. It's the Lord, oh my soul.
Thank you. get printed, but I think the third verse is also important. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. I love that line, don't you? Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Let's follow with the chorus. Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and you will be singing as the days go. Blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. When you look at others with your lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings, money cannot buy your reward in heaven nor your home on high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings.
That'll be the quietest that the children will ever play.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
What a wonderful day that God has given us. I know that earlier in the morning we had some rain, which is a good thing. The water, the land, and now we're brought in here to make sure that our feet don't get wet. And, you know, I was saying to one individual, you know, it would be a real a downer if it started raining once again and all of our equipment got wet. But we come to the time in the service that is wonderful. It's a part where our community can draw together, where we can share not only the praises that we have, the wonderful wins that we've experienced throughout the week, but also some of the hard things that we're going through. And together, just like Christ's body, we can pray for one another, hold each other before the throne of grace, and through that, know that we have a faithful God and he's going before us. So I would just like to open up the floor here. Is there anyone that would like to share a praise or to bring forth a concern? Amazing.
So this past week, Irene Heider sent out an email. I was leaning against the pew. That one's not screwed down. Sent out an email of asking if there was something the church could do more about an article in the St. Catherine Standard that I thought would be worth sharing with the congregation. I'm not going to read the whole article. But it's about the humanitarian crisis, they're calling it. And that is the Niagara and other cities' homelessness, mental health, and addiction problems. And large city mayors are now starting a campaign asking for people to inform their provincial elected representatives of the issues that we have. They're calling it the Solve the Crisis campaign, asking people to connect about homelessness, if you find needles in parks, if you see people dealing with mental health crises on the street. And so they have a website, solvethecrisis.ca. So just an encouragement for people to check that out and continue to be in prayer for homelessness, addictions, and mental health within our community.
I'm going to come down the row here.
As part of the Gift Discernment Committee, I'd also like to request some prayers from our congregation as we discern and look at the spots that we will have available and the needs that we have, including our outreach committees and all of those committees coming up. So if you could be in prayer for our discernment and for laying on people's hearts the roles that we need filled.
Me and my husband, we do the rock kuchen and watermelon. And we try to organize it very well and need some help. Of course, somebody has to roll the rock kuchen and somebody has to fry them. If there is any help, please let me know. And I cooked quite a bit peach jam for the rock kuchen. If somebody likes cherry jam or strawberry, please bring it along. Thank you.
I confess my sins of jealousy that you are having Ralkuchen and watermelon here.
I was actually sort of excited that we were having the service inside today because I knew what the sanctuary looked like. I pop in once in a while to see what's happening, and it's under construction. And so are we as Christians. We will always be under construction until God takes us home. So God keeps working in us and through us, and let's not get discouraged.
Amen, Trude. Amen. Well, let's come before our God and our King in prayer and bring these requests to his throne. Heavenly Father, once again, we give thanks for today. We give thanks that you have brought rain, that you brought us together, that you are working in the midst of us as we are under construction. We bring this petition before your throne around homelessness, mental health, people who are on the streets and need a home, and even more, need your work in their lives. Lord, I pray that you'll go before us with our politicians, that you'll bring consensus. That you'll bring about a consensus about what to do. That as we navigate the layers of government, that it won't be caught up in bureaucracy, but there'll be solutions, tangible solutions that help more people navigate the messy situations of mental health, addictions, which is part of mental health, and experiencing homelessness. Lord, go before us. May your Holy Spirit work in such a way that solutions are brought about. We also pray for this Rolkuchen and Watermelon event. We pray that people will come and help, that people will help to make this a communal success. We also bring before you the discernment and collaboration that is taking place here at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church. I imagine that there are a lot of decisions that are being made, that there's a lot of change that's happening. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will minister in such a way that you bring about unity, that you allow for diverse opinions, but at the end of the day, that a unified, solid approach is taken to whatever decisions need to be made. Lord, we truly all want to see your kingdom come. We all want to see people come to know you more and grow in your presence. And I pray that we can continue to be faithful as your people to draw to solutions and conclusions that will help your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Finally, Lord, I bring forth to you the people that are having trouble physically. As we age, it becomes more and more challenging. And I pray at this very moment that your Holy Spirit would go out and that your hands of healing, your hands of encouragement will be upon those who are having difficulty today, whether it be physically, whether it be emotionally, whether it be psychologically, that your hand of healing will be upon these people, that you'll make your presence known to them, and that your grace and your mercy will bring encouragement, life, and joy to their lives. Lord, we give thanks once again that we've been able to gather together as a community to worship you and to learn more about what you are doing in and around our midst. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
I invite the children to come up. I've got a story for you. There's a few of you here. Evelyn, do you want to come over here? And Wesley, why don't we sit right here on the floor? Okay, we'll come over here a little bit closer to you. All right, I have some challenges for you this morning, but you have to do it with one hand behind your back. Okay, Evelyn's ready. She's got her hand behind her back. Can you open up this water bottle? Try it. Got to keep the one hand behind her back. Oh, she's got it between her knees. She's twisting. She's thinking. She's using all her body parts. Is it working? You getting it off? No. Okay. I thought that might work for you. It's tricky, isn't it?
It's hard to open.
It's hard to open, yeah. Okay. Well, we'll put that down. I know it's hard with one hand, isn't it? Okay. Next one, leave that hand behind your back. Can you clap? There's no way you can clap? Oh, okay, she's tapping her leg. All right, and the last challenge I have for you, this is a tricky one. See this string? Can you tie it in a bow? Can you try? You don't even know how to tie. Okay, well, that's probably the trickiest challenge. So these are really simple things to do, well, at least most of them are, when you have two hands, but it's really hard when you only have one hand, right? I wonder if we could do these things with the help of a friend or a neighbor. You think you'd be able to do it? Yeah? Yeah.
You ask one person to hold it and one person to open.
One person could hold the water bottle and the other person could open it. Yeah. Yeah. With a friend, these things become a lot easier. And there's actually a lot of things in life that are like that. God has not made us to go through this world alone. but he wants us to rely on each other. We should be ready and willing to help others with all that they might need. Do you know the best way you can help other people? Sure. You know what it is? Prayer. We can pray for them. In fact, the Bible calls us to pray for one another. We should pray for friends and for loved ones and even the people we don't know or we don't like as much, maybe. Prayer is powerful. It might not seem like that much, but it's the greatest thing that we can do. God will always hear us. And so next time you or someone you know need something, remember, they don't need to go through it alone, right? And if you're not sure what to do, you can say a prayer. So let's say a prayer right now. Can you fold your hands? Dear God, thank you for loving us, and thank you for always hearing us. Help us to remember to pray for ourselves and for others. Amen.
This morning I'll be reading from Psalm 71, verses 12 to 18. Be not far from me, O God. Come quickly, O my God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. And then I'll read from 2 Timothy 1, verse 3 to 9. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace.
Good morning, everyone. Sometimes I feel like just hearing scripture alone testifies enough, and I really don't need to say anything. These two passages are very powerful, especially the one in Timothy that calls us to fan into flame and not be ashamed of the grace that's been given. These are encouraging verses for a time such as this. A little over a month ago, my grandma Penner died. She was one of the pillars of faith in my life. She was a wonderful woman that had a rich story. I was sharing with someone out in the hallway here that she fled from Russia at a very young age during the Russian Revolution with only the clothes on her back, right? The similar story to many of your friends and family. But my grandma Penner was someone that was a woman of faith. I remember when I was young, my mom was a nurse, and she had to work shift work. And so, like many, many parents, they watched us overnight. And I can remember one night in particular, it actually happened many times. My grandma would be tucking me in at night, and she would tell me stories. And she would always end the stories by telling us that she prayed for each and every one of her grandchildren and her children. She had 14 grandchildren by the end of her life, and she had, I think, four kids herself. And each and every night, she would pray for each individual child. But it wasn't just a vague prayer. It was a prayer of salvation that they would know and that they would grow in a relationship with Jesus. It was her deepest, deepest longing to see her faith passed on, to see her grandchildren and her own children have their own faith that was genuine, that was authentic, that may have not looked like her faith or her husband's or anyone else's. But their faith was strong and rooted, unwavering during times of trouble, troubles that she had had throughout her life. And as I get older, as I have children, those same desires are within my heart, and I'm sure that many in this room have that same desire, that their children and their children's children, that this next generation would know and grow in Jesus. Wouldn't you agree? But as a parent, as with many of us in the room, there are challenges. I remember recently, it was a summer day, it was hot outside, and I looked at one of my children and I said, "Hey, why don't you get on your bike and ride over to Jimmy's house and play with Jimmy?" Number one, I was sick of the complaining and the boredom and the screen time and thought that this was a beautiful option, something that I did as a kid, ride your bike halfway across town and play with your friends. Have fun. And I still remember the face that I was given by my son, and it was a face filled with fear and anxiety of, "I don't know what to do." And he looked at me and he says, "Dad, I can't do that." I said, "Well, you know, like you can ride your bike. Like, what's the issue?" He says, What happens when I get to Jimmy's house? What if I knock on the door of Jimmy and no one comes? Even worse, what if his mother comes to the door and I don't know what to say?" This was a genuine concern spoken from the mouth of a 10-year-old child that was too scared, too nervous to ride his bike over to his friend's house to play. I confess that this new generation that's rising up, those that fall between, I'm going to say, 8 and 20, is one that I don't fully understand. They have had experiences in their lives like COVID and shutdown and pandemic that have shaped their lives. They've had technology in their hands since the day they were born. They know how to navigate the internet and applications much better than I do. It's like that changing moment that happened when the VCR came out. The VCR was a changing moment because guess what? The kids knew how to program the time in the VCR better than you did. They knew how to navigate this piece of technology better than us. And so I confess as a parent, as a fellow believer, that this generation, this one that's rising up, is one that's very, very different. And I don't always know even how to relate to them, let alone share my faith with them. What should I do? Where should I go? Our God is so faithful. His scriptures and his message are timeless, and they are always relevant for a time such as this. Thank you, Marianne, for reading scripture. I want to back it up, though. If you have your scripture or if you have your Bible still open, I'm going to focus on Psalm 71 for a little bit. And I'm going to start actually in verse 3. I love scripture. I wish we would read it more, longer passages in service. Verse 3 says, "Be a rock of refuge for me, where I can always go. Give the command to save me, For you are my rock and fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the power of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and the oppressive. For you are my hope, Lord God, my confidence from my youth. The first thing that I'm reminded of as I look at this psalm is that the psalmist is clinging to their faith. They are reminded that our God is a strength and a refuge, that he is there and that he has been faithful through whatever trouble they have went through and they are going through. Goes on to say, I have leaned on you from birth. You took me from my mother's womb. My praise is always about you. I am like a miraculous sign to many, and you are my strong refuge. My mouth is full of praise and honor to you all day. So not only are they remembering how God has been faithful, they continue to praise him for all the wonderful things that he has done, both in the past and in the present. Praise is always on the lips of the faithful. They're always ready to share the goodness that they have seen. I think so often in life it's easy to share the bad things. The woe is me. I think that it's more life-giving both for us and for those around us that we share the good things that are going on. The stories how God has been faithful, the goodness that we see in this world. Rather than looking like our day has been rained out, let's look at the joy. We're able to be here, gather his community, hear God's word. God, do not be far from me, verse 12. My God, hurry to help. May my adversaries be disgraced and destroyed. May those who intend to harm me be covered with disgrace. But I will continually hope and praise you more and more. My mouth will tell about your righteousness and your salvation all day long. God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still proclaim your wondrous works. Even though I'm gray and old, don't abandon me while I proclaim your powers to the next generation, your strength to all who come. The final piece that I like in this, not only are they remembering their faith, not only are they praising God, but they see that even at the ends of their life, as they feel their strength is being sapped, as they're growing old, they still have purpose. They still have purpose while they are on this earth to proclaim the good works to the next generation, to tell the story that God has done in their lives. I would be remiss if I did not mention that as I read this passage, I'm reminded of Deuteronomy 6. In Deuteronomy 6, the nation of Israel has just come out of captivity. And now Moses is sitting there and he is teaching them, reteaching them the law that God has given to them. In Deuteronomy 6, it paints this beautiful, beautiful picture. I won't read the whole chapter, even though I would love to. But in Deuteronomy 6, we read this famous, very famous verse. It says, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These are the words that I'm giving you today, are to be on your hearts." Here it comes, right here. Listen. "Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you are sitting in your house and when you're walking along the road, when you're lying down and when you're getting up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on your doorposts of your house and on your city's gates." God is calling his nation Israel to tell of his love, to remember him, to remember his faithfulness, and to pass on that story, to pass on his story of grace and mercy to the next generation. As was mentioned earlier, I now work for an organization named Alpha Canada. Alpha Canada equips local churches with evangelism resources. They provide resources so that we can share our faith with those who are not yet in a relationship with Jesus or have wandered away from them. And you would think, you know, hey, Marty is part of this company that is really good at sharing their faith. But I admit and I confess that there are sometimes periods where I don't know what to do. Like my children. How do I talk about them in a way that they're going to hear the good news and they're going to embrace it? And then God reminds me time and time again of my grandmother. My grandmother wasn't a flashy person. But she was a woman of prayer. And just like our children's story today, prayer is the beginning, is the root, is the start that can transform and fan into flames, oftentimes, other people's faith. A recent study said that churches who pray about evangelism, guess what? They're more effective in evangelism, right? So if this church is praying about sharing our faith with others, what do you know? The Holy Spirit goes before us and we become more effective. As we lean into God and bring our prayers and petitions to Him, His Holy Spirit goes before us and knocks on the heart of other people that we know and those people that we don't know and calls them to faith. What do you know? I think the first step that we have to sharing our faith is to pray for people that we love, that they would come to know Jesus, and also pray for our own hearts so that we can be in the position, like the psalmist writes, where we are able to share the praises in a way that's going to be heard, where we can share the stories and not be shut out because this is a story that our kids or our grandkids have heard 50 times before. Prayer positions our heart in such a posture that we surrender to God and we allow Him to do the work and go before us. I believe that we want to see more people come to faith. People that we know and love, people that we don't know. That's our desire because we have experienced the grace and forgiveness of God. And that has changed our lives. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. We would be at home, sleeping in. But because God has touched our lives, we want to actually see more people experience this goodness, His grace, and His mercy. And so I would encourage you, I would remind you, I would hopefully exhort you to continue to pray like my grandma did. Like you probably already do, and know that those prayers are being heard, that the Holy Spirit is going before us, and more people will come to know His grace and forgiveness because of our prayers. With that being said, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look out on this world today, we know that it is in need of your grace. We know that it is in need of your mercy and your provision. And we really want to see your kingdom come and your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Heavenly Father, you know the burdens on our hearts. You know the loved ones that we want to see come to know you and grow in your presence even more. And we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that it would go out even at this very moment and touch these people's hearts, inspire and stir a desire to know you more. We also pray for our community, those people that we don't even know. We pray that as we are faithful, as we lean into you as a community, the body of Christ, that they will be able to see, that they will be able to hear, and that they will respond to the invitation of grace that you so freely give. Heavenly Father, I give thanks for this community because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it has been faithful, that there are many people in this room today that have prayed each and every day, just like my grandmother did. Pray for their children. Pray for their grandchildren. Pray that they would have faith in you and you alone. Lord, I pray for those who have been faithful, that you will give them a sense of reassurance, that their prayers are not unheard, and that you are moving. Lord, show them the goodness. Show them the fruit. Show them the good things that are taking place in this world right now, right here in St. Catharines. Heavenly Father, once again, I pray for this congregation, and I pray that you'll continue to use them as a light, a beacon, a signpost that points towards the wonderful work that you have done. Equip them with stories. Provide moments where they can share. But even more, Lord, be with them as they seek your face, as they are on their knees, as they are submitting their prayers to you, their Father, their Lord, their Savior. Amen.
Thank you, Marty. It's always a pleasure to have you here. I've known Marty for years. He was a youth pastor at Bethany when I was there, and he's grown so much.
15 years,
Marty. 15 years, yes. All right, we're going to sing Blessed Assurance to end our service. We're going to start with the chorus. Please stand.
What a wonderful ending to the service. We are blessed with that assurance that Jesus died for our sins, and because of that, we have life. And I pray that as you go from this place, that the Holy Spirit will continue to reaffirm that blessed assurance, but also give you the words to say, the prayers to give, that other people will be able to experience that same blessing. Go in his peace. Go in his grace, go in his blessed assurance, because Jesus is ours. Amen.